Okay, folks. For better or worse, we're gonna get to it tonight with another Greek lesson, Koine Greek lesson. We're going to be studying lesson number 11 in the text called demonstrative pronouns in the Koine Greek, and we do all of us here. This is. From my standpoint of view, a lot of people, they come in and they go out here, how would I say this? It's kind of tough to keep on going if people aren't here constantly every time. That's, from a teacher's standpoint, it's kind of maddening. So, having said that, I think that there's nothing I can do that is going to replace your work. I mean, all of us are going to have to, in order to learn this language, all of us are going to have to spend quality personal time in it. And so, you know, if nothing else, these sessions are recorded. I'm not claiming to be the the most awesome Koine Greek teacher on the planet at all. I'm learning as I go, too. But I've had it in college. I've studied it little bit under a pastor, and so I know my way around it a bit. And, I know that with the Holy Spirit's help and with prayer and with study, you can go as far in it as you want to. That's, you know, again, that's all up to you. And that's the same with the Scriptures. I mean, no preacher, no teacher, no friend or brother or family member is going to help you understand the knowledge of the Word of God. We all know that it has to do with you. The Lord requires that you rightly divide the Word of Truth yourself. And so, you know, I'm not harping or anything like that, but I just wanted to make that statement. So, we're going to send Josh here a textbook, and he can, I think it's very good for him to have that. He can start looking through it. Last time, what we did, Doherty there and everybody, is that we went over what we've covered so far in the last kind of 2.5 years. And of course, these Koine Greek classes that we give, they're not, they're not exactly consistent. Sometimes they might be every 2 weeks. Sometimes they might be every 6 weeks. Depending upon, what people are doing, what people are doing with their lives. My wife and I run a full-time dental practice. We have a building to take care of. We have a home to take care of. And so there's always something for us to do every time we look around. You know, we can always be doing something 24/7. So my excuse for not doing it every week is just that. And then we have holidays and we have people that get sick, people that have to go for surgeries, and all that. So, if we were doing a college course, we would have to be there or we would flunk, So I guess I can't really look at this as a college course. It's just, but what we're studying is college-grade material, by the way. Koine Greek takes a lot of going over things, a lot of looking at things, getting used to things. The more you're aware of them, when you first walk on your job, you don't know what's going on. After about a year, you know pretty much what's going on, and after 5 years, you can do it in your sleep. Well, I think studying the Koine is similar to that. You just have to, if you had a photographic memory, that would be great. I don't. I don't know if any of you guys do. That includes Doherty guys. I'm just using that word, as a meaning of you people. I don't know anybody if they do have a photographic memory, but I think we all have good memories. We do have the Holy Spirit, by the way, and we do know that the Koine Greek is in fact. The New Testament scriptures were initially and originally written in the Koine Greek through the apostles. and the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. So these are the two languages that Almighty God chose to use. And so it would stand to reason that if we get familiar with these languages, that we will be in a better position to understand if translators made any if translators made any mistakes, which they have. You know, the King James scriptures are awesome. They are an awesome awesome creation in history. There's no doubt about it. If you study through history and how the Lord kept the scriptures alive through the dark and middle ages, the scriptures to the common people was unknown. Most people during the dark and middle ages, between the years of about, let's say about 400 to 1300 AD, people didn't have the scriptures. It was Satan's one of Satan's big events that he took the scriptures out of the hands of the common people. While at about the middle of the 1300s, they started being getting out to the people, and then the King James Version was a monumental event that that King James sanctioned in 1611, and it was monumental, no doubt about it. And then for the last 400 years, the scriptures have been massively produced, and I think when was the printing press was created in, what was that, 1455? The first book that ever was printed was the scriptures, believe it or not. And so there was a period of darkness in the world, and then there was a period up to the day in which we live where the scriptures are all around us. We're blessed beyond, believe me, I know this. I'm not trying to be a know-it-all or anything. I just know what I know, and I know that we are more blessed with the Word of God than probably anybody in the history of time. And so we better make the most of it. Because we're seeing interesting things on the horizon as far as our country are concerned, and we never know what's going to happen, you know. The Muslim world in the past has taken over countries. That's a matter of history. If you study European history, you know, that's what the Crusades were all about. The Muslims took over Jerusalem and the Holy Land, and then the northern countries came down and got them out of there, apparently. I could be wrong about that, but that's what I think happened then. And so the Muslims, you know, with their satanic gods, have gone over the world and taken over the Christian world and the scriptures. And then, we have the Catholic machine that basically kept the scriptures out of the hands of the common person so that they could control the masses. That's the reason for that. And, you know, we don't want to go into that. That's a whole discussion that would take half a day, really. But let's... what we did last time is we went over the Koine Greek alphabet. We went over the Koine Greek verb system. You know, the Koine Greek has two major verb systems to it. What they call the verbs are conjugated, and nouns are declined. And we've looked over that in past lessons. We looked over the two major conjugations in the Koine Greek language. They're called the Omega conjugation and the Mu Iota conjugations. And the Omega conjugation is the major conjugation of Greek forms. So a lot of the verbs in the New Testament Koine Greek are what's known as their Omega conjugations. We went over breathing marks and accents in the Koine Greek last time. We went over the Greek noun system. Last time there's declensions in the Greek noun system, which there's actually three of them. The second declension is in the Koine Greek is the major one in the New Testament. And then you have the first and third declensions. We went over cases and moods and voices. There's actually three moods in the Koine Greek, and there's three voices in the Koine Greek. We went over that, and then we went over the tenses. The mood and the voice have to do with the verbs, and the tenses have to do with the verbs. And there's seven tenses in the Koine Greek verb system. They are the present tense, future tense, imperfect tense, aorist tense, perfect tense, pluperfect tense, and future perfect tense. And so, for me to explain those things right now would be, I'd have to go back and go over things again. But like I said, these lessons are are all recorded. And then we went over the verb for I am, which is Amy. And and then we noticed that in the verb system, there's first, second, and third persons, and they're in the singular or plural. So let's say for the Koine Greek form Amy, Amy means I am, and then you have second person, which would be you are, and we have third person singular, which would mean he, she, or it is. And then the first person plural would mean we are, and then the second person plural are, and then the third person plural would mean they all are, and we went over that. And then we went over cases in the Greek noun system. There are four cases that we're concerned with in the Koine Greek noun system. Okay, so we have seven tenses in the verb system, and I enumerated those. You know, present tense, future tense. You can understand that a tense. Present tense would be an example. Would be I love. The future tense will be I will love. You know, and the aorist tense is one that's really important to our calling. The aorist tense would be, an example would be, I loved, L-O-V-E-D. And, it gets involved and complicated somewhat, but again, you have to immerse yourself in this language. And the really excellent thing about it is, if you're immersing yourself in this language, you're immersing yourself in the New Testament. All right, so the noun system has what's called, it has, I think, six or seven cases, but the four major cases in the Koine Greek New Testament that we're concerned about are the nominative case, the genitive case, the dative case, and the accusative case. And I can just explain that a little bit to you. The nominative case, if you bring this into the English way of thinking, it represents the subject of the sentence. The genitive case is the case that represents possessing something. The dative case represents the indirect object, and the accusative case represents the direct object in a sentence. So we have the nominative case, which represents the subject, as in a sentence like, men see apostles. While the subject would be the genitive case, is the subject, or is the case of possession. As in the example, the wisdom of men. The of men would be in the genitive case because the men are possessing the wisdom. The dative case represents the indirect object, as in an example, he gave gifts to men. While he is the in the nominative case, the gifts are the direct objects, but two men would be the indirect object, and they're in the dative case. So the dative case would be the indirect object in the sentence. And then the accusative case represents the direct objects, as in the sentence, apostles see men. Apostles would be the subject, and what they see is men, which would be the indirect object. Apostles see men. The form men would be in the accusative case. So we have four cases in the Koine Greek noun system. We have seven tenses in the Koine Greek verb system. And so we have to understand what, you know, a verb is, and we have to understand what a noun is. And then we went over identifying how you identify verbs and nouns in the Koine Greek, and it has to do with their endings. It has to do with the suffix endings that are placed on roots in Koine Greek. And that's important because in Koine Greek, you can write the subject of a sentence at the end of a sentence. And it doesn't follow the word patterns like English does. And so in the Koine Greek, you can have a direct object at the beginning of a sentence, a verb, and then you can have the subject of the sentence in the middle or so when you translate the Koine Greek, it's going to be different than the English, you know, which has subject, verb, direct object, you know. So in that sense, Koine Greek is different, and that sometimes leads to translation, you know. So you know, that gets more in depth. And so we went over the Koine Greek noun system. And then, you know, there's, like I said, there's three declensions in the Koine Greek noun system. And the second declension nouns, I know this, you know, this seems like a lot, you know, but it's a fact. These are facts. The second declension nouns are the most prominent in the Koine Greek. And then there's, you know, then there are, as we went on through 10 lessons or so, there's a lot of vocabulary words or forms. And actually, the reason why I stress the word form so much is that Greek, Koine Greek, doesn't have words, it has forms. And you could say, well, that could be picayune, but the fact of the matter is that Koine Greek has forms. It has roots and it has forms. It doesn't have roots and it doesn't have roots in words. It has roots in forms. So if you want to be exacting, and we're going to try to be exacting as possible when we're talking about the Almighty God's New Testament, we're going to say that the original language that he wrote the scriptures in has roots and forms. All right. So if somebody says, oh, the Greek word in the New Testament, they're wrong. And you could say, well, that's getting bizarre. Okay, well, then we're going to be bizarre. All right, and then we went over, and then there's masculine and feminine nouns. So we went over that. And, you know, when Josh here gets this textbook, he can look through these lessons, and he'll at least not be so overwhelmed with what we're talking about. But, you know, if we go over and over this, that's the thing to do. You know, so I don't mind doing that at all, whatsoever. Then we went over the Koine Greek definite articles. Well, what's a definite article? The definite articles are the, you know, the church, the preacher, you know, the stone, the rock. The definite article is the. And so there's there are four cases that we're going over: the nominative, genitive, dative, and accusative with the definite articles. And the definite articles can be in male gender, female gender, or neuter gender, and then there can be sarticles. All right, and as I can escape all this by using a cliche of my buddy Rotten Ronnie, hey, I didn't write this, the Lord did, so don't blame me. Okay, great, thank you, Ron. We'll continue. And so there's definite articles that we have to learn. So the definite article usually goes along with the noun form so that you can identify it. You know, if a definite article is in the nominative case, then the noun that it accompanies will be in the nominative case. And that's something we can all go back over. But what I decided to do in upcoming weeks, in upcoming studies, is after tonight's lesson, if we ever get to it, well, I'm going to I'm gonna get as far as I can with demonstrative pronouns, and tonight. But what I'm gonna do after I get through that, whether it takes one or two lessons, like tonight or next time, is I'm gonna go back, right back to lesson one, and we're gonna go over vocabulary. All right, we're gonna go through vocabulary, Koine Greek forms, and all we're gonna do. For a couple of weeks after this is we're going to go over vocabulary forms in the Koine Greek. I don't know how many pages of them to go over, but it's good to, you know, it's good to go over the forms that speak forth the scriptures, like the form anthropos. Anthropos is the Greek form that means a man. Or doron. Doron is the form that means a gift. And so, what I'm going to do for a couple of weeks after I get through demonstrative pronouns is I'm going to go over just forms, just the meanings of forms. And, okay, so forms would be what the English call words. So if I was saying this to you so that you would understand it, and that I and if I wasn't going to be as ticky-tacky, I'm going to go over many Greek words, but we're going to be going over many Greek forms in the upcoming lessons, just forms. So then you can see, you know, we can have fun in that, okay? So then we went over the definite articles, we went over the nouns, we went over the verbs, and let's see, going on, we went over cases, like the aorist case, and the accusative case, what they are, we went over again the form, we went over prepositions, which is very important in the Koine Greek. What are prepositions? Well, if you turn to page 60, we went over prepositions like this in the Koine Greek. What's the preposition for up? It's ana. What's the preposition for over? It's huper. What's the preparation for upon? It's epi. Like entois epiranios, or actually entois epiranios. And what that means is in the upon the heavens. And that's where our calling is too. In the upon the heavens. Entois epiranios. And so epi, the positions are very important. Epi means upon. Ace means into. Ek means out of. Pras means to, but not into. Apa means from. Para means beside. Dia means through. Hupa means under. And kata means down. So there are Koine Greek prepositions that you're going to run into the New Testament that will direct you either above, under, down, beside, into, right up to a point, but not into, out of, like the resurrection in Philippians 3, I believe, is ek anastasis ek ton nekron, which actually means the out resurrection out from among the dead. The out-resurrection, ex anastasis, ek ton nekron. The out-resurrection out from among the dead. And see, no resurrection has ever been spoken of like that in the scriptures, because not only is it a resurrection out of the dead, but it's an out-resurrection. So, we believe particularly that the Apostle Paul talked about an out-resurrection out from among the dead in Philippians, which is, in fact, a very precise and special resurrection. It has to do with him attaining the prize and such. And so the resurrection that you find in Philippians, if you study the Koine, it's a very specific one in the Koine. And so our calling, as far as being called to the entois epuranios, that is, in the upon the heavens, has to do with a specific resurrection. So it's very specific and very unique. And once you, in the English you can understand this, but once you start seeing it in the original language, it will blow your socks off. It will blow you away because and I'm saying that I learned my calling in the King James English. So if that's all you had and that's all you understand, the Holy Spirit can work with that, and you'll have no problem understanding your calling through the King James. But once you start delving into the Koine, the depth of your knowledge will increase, and the Lord is really going to blow your socks off, because you'll find that it is, it's in the original scriptures. And nowadays, through modern technology, you can print out original New Testaments from 150 A.D. to 400 A.D. And maybe about 15 or 20 years ago, it would have cost you a million or two to have. And I'm not kidding at all whatsoever. And so I have realized this, that in the past 20 years, what it took a millionaire to own, we can download it, if you can imagine that. So we're getting blessed upon blessed upon blessed in this day, even though evil is rearing its head to the maximum, and immorality and injustice and dishonor and all of that crapola is coming to a head, while we're being blessed with the Word of God more than ever. And so I would implore you guys, don't ever forget that, because as Satan is working, the Lord is working more abundantly. But like I said, we got to make use of the time we have. And then we went over personal pronouns. Personal pronouns in the first and second and third person. That is, like, let's say in the singular, a personal pronoun would be I. In the second person, it would be you. And in the third person, it would be he. And then there's singular and plural to those. And then there's actually masculine and feminine and neuter to those. So, there's a lot of learning. There's a lot of learning, no doubt about it. But none of us can say that, hey, Lord, you didn't give me anything to do. I was just sitting around and, being lazy, and, that's your fault. Well, no, we can't say that at all whatsoever. So now we come to chapter 11, demonstrative pronouns. And a pronoun modifies a noun, we know that. And then a demonstrative pronoun, I looked up the word demonstrative in the English dictionary. And this is what our English dictionary said of the grammatical term demonstrative. And it means indicating or singing out the thing referred to. So a demonstrative pronoun would emphasize a noun. All right? Very, very demonstratively, if you want to put it that way. Okay, so now Josh is going to be a little bit at a loss here, but we're going to just... this lesson is very short, pretty short. But, what do I got? I got about... 30 minutes left, and we're just going to go through it, so just buckle yourselves in, and here we go. Demonstrative pronouns on page 80. When it is desired to call attention to a designated object, a demonstrative construction is used. This is taken from the Latin, demonstro, which means I point out. This construction normally consists of a demonstrative pronoun. The near demonstrative autos, which means this, points out something near at hand, while the remote demonstrative ekinos, which means that, points out something further removed. Okay, so what we're going to be learning about tonight is the Greek forms autos, which means this, and ekinos, which means that, this and that. And when it means near demonstrative, well, something that's this, when you say this table, well, this table is right there. When you would say that table, you might be pointing across the room, be pointing out something that people have seen a day before. Oh, do you remember that table? You know what I'm saying? So that's why they call that a remote demonstrative, which means that, which is ekinos in the Koine, and this is the near demonstrative, which means this. It's autos, okay? So that's what we're learning about today. This and that. This, autos, and that, ekinos. That's what this lesson is all about. And a paradigm. It says here, the following paradigms of demonstrative pronouns should be compared with those of autos. So in the Koine, and if we turn back to lesson 64, let's turn back there, or let's say mini lesson number 64. Okay, Josh can't do this, but he's going to get a text in a few days. We have a demonstrative pronoun, autos. That's what we're going to be learning today. It means this in the Koine. Actually, hold on a second. Just give me 1 second. I might have got that wrong there. The pronunciation of it. Actually, it's autos. Pardon me, I mispronounced that. So, this is autos. And actually, what the author is trying to describe here is that we don't want to confuse that with the form on page 66, which is autos. Autos means this, autos means he. Autos, autos. And you'd have to understand the Koine Greek vocabulary for that, but autos has an omicron in it, and autos has an alpha in it. And so we notice that. And so the author is saying here, don't confuse autos, which is this, with autos, which means he. All right, and then it goes through a paradigm, and what that does is it breaks down the forms, the different forms in the different cases for this particular demonstrative pronoun. And it breaks it down in the nominative case, genitive case, dative case, and accusative case. You can see that in the, some of you can, in the gray boxes on page 80. And then on page 81, we have the Koine Greek form for that, which is ekinos, and it means that. And then you have the paradigm, or what that is a paradigm, Josh, is breaking down a Greek form in the masculine, feminine, and neuter, in the singular, and according to four different cases, the nominative, genitive, dative, and accusative. Now, a lot of verbiage, a lot of information, I know, but you're going to have to just submerge your brain into this stuff. And then after, it'll become a lot familiar when you get the textbook. Okay, so now we're going to go on page 81. All right? It says, uses of the demonstrative. There are three main uses of the Koine Greek demonstratives. All right? A demonstrative pronoun, we've already went over what that is, this and that. They are most frequently used to modify nouns, in which case they agree with the noun in gender, number, and case, seeing male or female, masculine, feminine, as far as the number is concerned, first, second, or third person, whether it's singular, plural, and the case, whether it's nominative case, genitive case, dative case, or accusative case. And we went over what those cases were earlier this evening. In this use, the noun, the most frequently used demonstrative to modify nouns, in which case they agree with the noun, and gender, number case. Okay, an example of that would be autos and adjectives like agathos. Agathos means good. Always has the definite article. We went over what the definite article. The definite article is the. And in the demonstrative, the demonstrative pronoun stands in the predicate position. That is, the pronoun is never immediately preceded by the definite article. Okay, so what this means is that in this case of pronouns, the pronoun is never preceded by the definite article, and we'll go on from here. Hence, this man would either be autos ha anthropos, this man, or it would be autos utas. I'm mispronouncing that. Utas ha anthropos, or ha anthropos utas. And what's it's getting at is, you notice the definite article, which is ha. It's not in front of the pronoun. The couple of people that have the text can see that. Okay, the same position may be used in any case function, as in blepo touton ton anthropon, which means I see this man, or blepo ekanon ton anthropon, I see that man, or in Lego, tutois, tois, anthropois, I speak to these men. All right, and then it goes into note the following in the New Testament, and so also what I should send to Josh is I should send him a Greek New Testament. Now, I can send Josh the New Testament that I think I sent to others, which is what's called the Byzantine text form. And I guess I would just add another $10 on there, Josh. So, you know, I guess you're going to have to work overtime. You know, I forgot what I said about what I was. But, pardon me, what's happening here is now the author is going to give us examples of these demonstrative pronouns used right in the scriptures, and so maybe what I can do is I could read these off and try to get through this lesson, and then next time we can all open up our Koine Greek actual Greek New Testaments, and these New Testaments don't have any English in them, so we can't cheat. And then what we can do is we can see actually the Greek forms right in an actual Koine Greek New Testament. So it's like there, if you understand what I'm getting at. It'll be, you can see it in an actual Koine Greek New Testament, if that makes sense to you. Now, well, thanks. The other people on here, as in Ronnie, Mimi, Tony, and Dorothy, do you have your Greek New Testaments? You have to answer yes. And Ronnie, you know, because if you don't, I'll send you one. Yes, okay, you do. Because I suppose that, you know, and this is going to be, you know, also too, you guys should take your vitamins. You know, you should take... You should take your vitamins. You should take cinnamon and honey, and an awesome multivitamin, because you're going to be here a while, okay? Josh, you might have a couple of kids by the time we're done. Who knows? You know, but you're going to be here for a while. And so I decided that I'm going to do this until I croak. And so that's what I'm going to do. And you could say, man, this is too much, and you can drop out. Well, you know, you can say that about the scriptures, too. And so you don't want to do that, all right? So you hang in there. You got these people in here, Josh, that have been hanging in there with me for 3 years now, and they're still here. And that's an awesome thing. So I really respect that. But I told them I'm going to do this no matter what. It's go time. Yeah, I'm going to do this no matter what. And I would rather not talk to myself. It helps me to know you guys are out there. Okay, so we're going to go through this demonstrative pronoun, this and that. This and that. That's what we're learning about in the Koine Greek. And we're going to read actual scriptures. We're going to read Hebrews 7. That is Hebrews 7:1. We're going to read Revelation 22:6. We're going to be reading Luke 6. We're going to be reading Matthew 24:14. We're going to be reading 1 Corinthians 11:25. We're going to be reading Matthew 13:44. We're going to be reading Luke 12:46. We're going to be reading Matthew 9:3, Matthew 3:17, Acts 9:36, John 10:1, John 1:2, and John 1:8. At least we're going to be reading those sentences, or at least the major part of those sentences in those verses. And so what I'm going to do next time is we're going to actually, I want you guys to bring your Byzantine text along with your other text, and we're going to look at it. And so the idea being is that, hey, we're going to, and see, I want to do this. I want to do this as much as possible. If we can translate the learning of this text into the scriptures, then I think it's sort of like, you know, they say that we learn in pictures. You know, we learn most things in pictures. Well, you know, I'm thinking, you know, if we get into the actual text without any English, you're going to be the real deal. Yeah, you're going to be learning right from a text with no English. And so, you know, that's the way to do it, rather than cheating, you know, if you will. Okay, so going back to this text talking about the Koine Greek forms for this and that, that is utas and ekaine, or ekainos, actually, ekainos, this and that, we read in Hebrews 7:1, utas ha Melchizedek mene Herus. And what that means is that this Melchizedek remains a priest. This Melchizedek, utas ha Herus, actually means this Melchizedek remains a priest. And in that, the hutas modifies Melchizedek, and it means this Melchizedek. That's in Hebrews 7:1. Turning to Revelation 22:6, the Koine Greek sentence is hutoi, hoi, lagoi, pistoi, kai, alethinoi. And what that means is these words, or hutoi hoi logoi, that's the Greek meaning these words, hutoi hoi logoi, are faithful and true. Pistoi kai alethinoi. Faithful is pistoi, and is kai, and true is, or true, thinoi, alethinoi. These words are faithful and true. Hotoi hoi lagoi, pistoi kai alethinoi. All right, now you say, man, that sounds like Greek to me. Well, that's what it is. You know, but the point of it is this. Like, let's say I sat there for 5 minutes and I went, hutoi ho poi logoi piste, or pistoi, I'm sorry, kai aleithinoi. Hutoi hoi logoi pistoi kai aleithinoi. Hutoi hoi listoi kai hutoi hoi logoi pistoi kai aleithinoi. That would be so ingrained in your brain that instead of reeling back and saying, man, that sounds like Chinese to me, you'd say, hutoi hoi logoi, or you'd say, oh yeah, that in the Koine means these words. And see, so you're bridging a barrier. You're bridging the English way of thinking into the Koine way of thinking. And so that's what we're going to attempt to do for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And I think that getting into the vocabulary for the next, after next week, I'm just going to do vocabulary for two or three sessions. Because what we're going to do is we're going to hammer the Greek forms. We're going to go over them like anthropos means a man. Anthropos, anthropos, anthropos. Anthropos means a man. Doron, doron, doron. That means a gift. And it's so like when you see these Greek forms, you're not going to be afraid of them. You're going to go, oh yeah, anthropos, that means a man. Technos, that means a child. You're going to, oh yeah, I'm not afraid of that. Or you're going to say utas, that means this. Or you're going to say utoi, oh, that means these. You see, like that, you're going to get, we hammer it in. And it's almost like, you can't avoid it. It's almost like, like a Jerry Rice. I mentioned this before. Jerry Rice was probably one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, right? Yes. From the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame, blah, 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 blah. And they said that his workouts were so hard that Olympic runners would throw up. Seriously. I like the NFL. I follow it. Jerry Rice said, they asked him, hey, what's the best part of your workout? He said, when it's done. Ha, ha, ha. Well, what Jerry Rice did is he went out and he caught balls hanging over the line, caught balls almost going out of bounds, caught balls drilled at him, caught balls going over his head, ran uphills, ran downhills. I mean, nothing comes easy. And so, if you want to be really good, and you think it's going to come easy, you might as well quit right now and go, take your wife out for ribs or something like that. And so, it's not going to come easy, and I'm not going to make any, claims whatsoever that it will, because it's going to take work. But then if you, after a while, you're going to be thrilled. You're going to look at a Greek New Testament, and you're going to say, hey, I know the original language of God, the Holy Spirit. I mean, and to me, hey, I'm going to do that. That's what drives me. That's what drives Mikey. I want to know the original language of God, the Holy Spirit. Do I need to have it to know my calling? No. Will it enrich my knowledge of the Scriptures? No doubt about it. Okay, I can guarantee that. We all know that. All right, turning over the page to 82 in Luke 13:6, we have elegon, tautain, tain, parabolain. Elegon, tautain, tain, parabolain. It's not parabolain, it's parabolain. And what that means is he was speaking this parable, tautain. In Matthew 4, we have, Matthew 24:14, we have karux thei sete, tuta angelion. And what that means is this gospel will be preached. This gospel, tuta. Ta uangelion means this gospel. That's found in Matthew 24:14. In 1 Corinthians 11:25, we have tuta ta pa terion he kaine dia theke estin. And what that means is this cup is the new covenant. This cup, the tuta ta poterion, this cup. In Matthew 13:44, we have agaradze tan agran ekenon. Agaradze tan agran ekenon. And, you know, agaradze tan agran ekenon. Agaradze tan agran ekenon. That means he buys that field. Now, he buys that field. We understand that. Very familiar, right? Yeah, we're no dummies. He buys that field. He buys that field. But, you know, if we hammer it in our brain, agaradze tan agran akenan. You know, it's just, what it is, it's scary and it's weird because we're unfamiliar with it. All right? That's what scares people off. You know, agaradzan tan argan agran ekeran. It scares them off because it's foreign. It's like going on vacation. Did you ever go on vacation anywhere and you got there and you were like a neophyte rookie? You went into the place and you were like, man, I don't know what's going on here. Where do we rent a car? What hotels are best? I went to a convention in Las Vegas, and I learned a couple things when I was there. This is what I learned. Don't ever rent a car in Las Vegas. Because I rented a car. Don't ever look for a laundromat in Las Vegas. Don't ever rent a car and look for a laundromat in Las Vegas. Because when I did that, I was so mad my head almost blew off, and I went down a wrong way, one-way road with six lanes coming at me. All right? And what I realized is when you're there, you have the hotel do your laundry, and you get driven around by shuttles. Now, when I was there and got there, I was going on. And, you know, it was scary, right? It was scary when I went there. Heck, I didn't know what was going on at all. As a matter of fact, I thought the entrance to the place was where I parked my car, and it's where you picked up your car. I mean, I didn't know anything. And so, you know, and so I look back, and I can laugh my brains out. Man, you were dumb. But no, all I was ignorant. That's all I was. And now I go back there. If I ever go to a seminar there, man, I'm never going to rent a car. I'm never going to look for a laundromat because I don't think one exists in the city unless it's in the boonies somewhere. And, you know, and so, and I'll never go down a wrong way street with six lanes coming at me because I'll never be driving there. It is the same thing. Initially, it looks scary because we're ignorant to it. You know, we're ignorant to hearing it. Let's say you grew up with it and your grandma spoke it. Well, this wouldn't be scary to you. Okay, so we gotta get from an English pathway of thinking onto a Koine way of thinking. And once we start doing that, and the only way you do it is you're gonna have to be doing Jerry Rice workouts, believe me. And then it won't be scary anymore. You might even get sick of hearing it, you know. And that's where we want you to be. We want you to be so good at it that you go, yeah, man, I don't need to hear that anymore. I know what that is. Okay, so Luke 12:46. And what we're going to do is we got about, I don't know, 10 minutes here. We're going to go, next time, we're going to be pulling out your Greek, actual Greek New Testaments with no English. And we're going to see for a fact that these sentences are there. All right, that's what we're going to do next time. Okay. The next in Luke 12:46, it is heke ha kurias tu dulu ekenu. Eke ha curias tu dulu ekenu. Eke ha durias, I'm sorry, eke ha curias tu dulu ekenu, and that means the master of that slave will come. The master of that slave. That slave is tu dulu. Dulu means slave. Ekenu, that slave. Alright. It goes on to say, to repeat, Greek demonstrative pronouns always modify, it says anthros nouns or arthros nouns, and they always occur in the predicate position. So now he's going to go into a bit of other usages of these demonstrative pronouns. And maybe what we can do is we can stop there. Because what he's going to do is he's going to go into two other ways of using the nouns. And that might be a little bit involved there. And so what we can do is next time we can go over this again. And I'll be the two other people in the class tonight, they already have this lesson, and it's a short lesson. And so you can have time to go over it again. You know, but it's important that we learn the demonstrative pronouns that mean this and that, and how they're used. And then we can see how they're used. There's also 6 other scriptures that we're going to get into. And then there's some vocabulary there. But so maybe what we'll do next time is we'll go over demonstrative pronouns again. And we'll flash over a little bit what we went over tonight. And then I'll begin in the middle of page 82. And by then, Josh will have his texts. I'll get them out as soon as possible. I'll probably get them out in Monday's mail, and I'll send them. I can send them. What? FedEx. You want to send them FedEx?
Well, UPS.
I could send them UPS. Like express mail or something like that, and you should get them in 2 days or so. And so, because I don't know when the next Greek class will be, probably in a couple of weeks, or we have to figure that out, Josh, because this is how things go. Now, okay, now, you know, heck, what's, okay, so, this, don't worry about, you send me like $45, and I'll send you a text, and I'll send you a Byzantine Greek New Testament, $45. And so this ends the class for tonight. But it was a little tidbit. And that's how it's going to go. We're going to take chunks at a time. And as we go, I think it's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting for me to get into more vocabulary. And my plan is to go through a number of lessons. So even though they might be tough, at least you're going to get a flavor of them. At least they're going to be going through your head, like, oh yeah, I've been through that before. I want all of us to say when we open up, let's say lesson 11. And somebody says, this is a demonstrative pronoun in the Koine. You'll go, oh, yeah. You know, even if you don't know any of them, you can say, oh, yeah, I know what that means. And so it won't be hitting you like you won't know anything. So we're going to kind of take small steps as we go. And I think that's great. You know, if you don't mind, that's how I'm going to do this. And so what I want to do, though, we go over things and we go over things and we go over things. We could spend a whole year going over one lesson, but I don't think that that's going to be totally beneficial. So what I want to do is I want to go over the major things that are in the Koine Greek, and then we can tell you my idea is to give you an overall view so you know what's there, and then we can do anything you guys want to do within reason. You know, because, like I said, certain people, it's tough for me because people pop in and out of here, and I'll do whatever I want. Yeah, we do too. I'll just do whatever we can, okay? So, if nothing else, this young guy here, Josh, he's going to be taking on some more work for himself, and we like that. Young guys should work, which is hallelujah to that. And all of us older timers, I don't look at myself as an old timer, though. We just continue on. And so we're going to end this with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this period of time. We thank you for our calling and for knowing the rightly divided truth of God. It's a gift beyond. It's a gift beyond words. It really is. If we understand, we have our heads on straight, and we know your scriptures for what they are, and we know you for who you are. We're blessed beyond our wildest dreams, and so we're just trying to understand your scriptures more. And we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, and for the zeal and the desire to know the Koine Greek and your scriptures very thoroughly. And this we ask in Christ, for he is all. He's the creator, he's the head of the church, King of kings to be, the Lord of lords, the Lamb of God. He is all. And we pray through the sealer of the Holy Spirit to you, dear Heavenly Father, through your Son, the Lord and Savior Christ.